So what would be an impure mind? An impure mind? Well, an impure mind would be a mind made up of, led by, coloured by greed, craving, clinging, hatred, ill will, anger, ignorance, confusion, delusion, pride, jealousy, fear, etc., etc. All those things. That's got any of those states going on. That's an impure mind. That's an impure state of mind. Act out of that, suffering will follow for self and other. A pure mind is a mind without those. Those states are absent. And more positively, a pure mind is a mind made up of contentment, generosity, friendliness, loving kindness, compassion, clarity, wisdom, confidence, and so on. Those are the states that make up a pure mind. Act out of those states, and happiness will follow for self and other. It's interesting to reflect just a little more deeply about on this word purity and on this word impurity. If you look in the old Indian languages at words for purity, the connotations for purity are also of clarity, brightness and radiance, and even of strength in the original, Pali words. It has those connotations. And it's important to recall that, because perhaps for some people the word purity might have connotations of sort of naivety and weakness and being a bit sort of a goody-goody or something like that. But in the original Indian languages, purity has these connotations of strength, of brightness, of clarity, even of beauty, of spiritual beauty. Purity in Buddhist tradition, purity in Buddhist practice and tradition gives strength and even sort of power. Pure states of mind are regarded as being potent, creative, radiant states of mind. And it's interesting, in English, the word pure has connotations of being unmixed. Unmixed, if you have something that's pure, it's not mixed with anything else, it's sort of essential. Pure liquor is strong stuff, is powerful stuff. So purity has connotations of something concentrated, something sort of integrated, something together. So Buddhist tradition would say that a pure mind integrates and strengthens us, strengthens our consciousness, whereas an impure mind disintegrates, breaks up the mind. So those states of hatred and craving actually break us up, make us sort of weaker, if you like. And impure states of mind create suffering, even as the cartwheel follows the hoof of the ox drawing the cart. An impure mind, if we act with an impure mind, it creates suffering, even as the cartwheel follows the hoof of the ox drawing the cart. This is a very powerful image. The Dhammapada is full of powerful and very homely images. We might not get them if we haven't been to India, but it is actually quite a powerful image, a very effective image. If you've lived in India, you would have seen, I've seen plenty of ox carts, bullock carts. And, bullock carts, they have these great wooden and metal wheels, and they sort of, kind of judder along behind the old ox going along. And it's not a comfortable sight, actually. You'd think it's quite a pleasant sight, seeing a cart wheel, an ox cart going on, but it's actually quite an uncomfortable, sort of toiling sort of sight. It's an image of toil and play and pain. There's a sort of slow, remorseless quality about the wheel going round along these sort of dusty, bumpy roads behind the hoof of the ox. It's an image of the wheel of life, an image of the endless round of suffering, this sort of repetitive state of suffering born of an impure mind.